This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 65. Today, we're going to interview Andrew Clark about the hackathon event Chicago's Next that's immediately before the Microsoft Ignite conference in May 2015 in Chicago. This is recorded live January the 21st, 2015.
Welcome to the Microsoft Cloud Show, the only place to stay up to date on everything going on in the Microsoft Cloud world, including Windows Azure, Office 365, SharePoint, Exchange, Link, and related technologies. Just the information, no marketing, no BS. I'm Andrew Connell.
And I'm Chris Johnson.
And we're just two dudes telling you how we see it.
All right, so today I'm sitting here with Andrew Clark. We're going to talk a little bit about an event that he's putting on around the Ignite conference. So, Andrew, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, hopefully, we don't have too many people who are brand new listeners to the show because, they recognize my voice. Because this could get interesting where it's like, right, Andrew? Right, Andrew? Right, Andrew? Right, Andrew? So this could be a lot of fun here. But not only first name, some people may have picked up that we both have the same initials. I'm Andrew Connell and you're Andrew Clark, which is made for some fun in the past with us. You want to tell everybody about the little our online persona confusion that we've had?
Yeah, definitely. So this goes back to what, 2007, 2008?
Something like that, yeah.
And I just started out with Twitter. And I just don't like having my full name attached out there. I know that other people like to sell their brand and say, this is me. You know, at the time I was starting out in technology, so I didn't really see that. So I created my account with SharePoint AC. And I didn't know, you know, when I think of AC, I think of AC Green on the Lakers. I didn't know that Andrew Connell had AC trademarked everywhere. So, you know, huge spike in followers. And at the time, you know, even now, I don't really share my opinion on Twitter that much. But anything I would tweet out, there was like a link to MSDN or TechNet, it got a lot of retweets. And I was like, well, that's sort of cool. I guess everyone's just nice, you know. So fast forward a few years, we went, let's see, it was in Atlanta. I think that was the PEP program with Microsoft.
Yeah, I think Microsoft used to call it the Ignite program, they used to call it Metro. And then it was a bunch of training content, I guess, that I did with some other people prior to the release of, I think it was SharePoint 2010.
Yeah.
And they were sending us around the country and around the world to go present this. You happened to be in the room when we were doing this in Atlanta that year.
Correct. Yeah. And so I've always wanted to say hi to you because of your popularity with your blog, and your blog has helped me out in a pinch a few times. But every time I tried to like come up there, you had so many people talking to you, and here you are talking all day, your break comes, and then everyone scurries up to talk to you more. So I waited like 2-3 days. And then finally, I made my approach. I go, hey, you know, I just want to say I'm very thankful for your blog. Just want to say hi on Twitter. I'm SharePoint AC. And immediately go, it's you. And I just didn't know what to think about that. I was like, well, I guess it is me. And then the rest is history, right?
Yeah. I remember, yeah, it was something like, oh, you're the guy. I'd get people come up to me like at a conference or something, or, you know, whatever, they'd say something to the extent of, you know, yeah, I tweeted you or I asked you a question and remember this question, or either remember when you gave me this response, or remember you didn't respond, which isn't all uncommon. You can't respond to every single thing that comes to you, right? Regardless of who
Correct.
You are.
Correct.
And it was a trip because we had people, they were confusing your Twitter handle with me, and then it was a trip. And I think there was some joke about, you know, this is the that's Andrew Connell, the real AC, and that's I'm Andrew Clark or something. It was pretty comical, yeah.
My personal favorite was you were visiting Downers Grove and you and I were chatting on Twitter, planning out where to meet up for like a share pint.
Yeah.
And people in your class thought you were talking to yourself.
Yeah, that's right, because you're from Chicago. Downers Grove is a suburb where I was teaching a class at the time. We were all linking up for I think we went for pizza that night, didn't we?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Good times, man. Good times. But hey, yeah. So today, what I wanted to talk to you about is actually something that's going on in Chicago. So later this year, in early May in 2015, Microsoft has decided to can all of their, I guess, product non-developer, but mostly product-specific conferences like the SharePoint conference and Exchange conference and Project conference and all that stuff and TechEd. And they wanted to consolidate all of these down to one conference, the Uber conference called Ignite. And it's going to be in downtown Chicago, but you're putting on something, a little event prior to that week. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was when I first heard about Ignite and knowing that they're doing a huge format change, I was sort of thrown a curveball. I didn't know what to think about that. And then when they announced it was in Chicago, I just fell out of my chair. So what we're going to do is, I'm a Microsoft outsider, right? And I've noticed a change in how Microsoft is managing their code, their feature sets with Azure and Office 365. So I thought it would be great to get out of the typical classroom format. What can we build? Why aren't there hackathons with Microsoft technology? You just don't see too many of them. And now you've heard about them internally now in Redmond, and it's starting to change. But Chicago has a pretty good open source community, lots of startups in there. It's starting to get popular, but you just don't see it with Microsoft. So I think now is the time to do it. And I like to learn from that scene as well. So let's do an Azure Office 365 hackathon. And since Ignite's going to be in Chicago, why can't we do it the weekend before to attract some national talent that are going to be here anyway?
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's how we all started it.
That makes a lot of sense here. So I get for those of the listeners that we got that are not familiar with this, you kind of described when the thing is, the weekend prior, but what would you say, what's the what and when of what this hackathon is?
Sure. So it's called Chicago's Next, and it's a nonprofit technology hackathon event. We're looking to bring together regional and national Microsoft talent, try to build something. We're so used to corporate America where they're giving us the requirements. We want to help people break out of that mold. We see that more with the open source people, not with the corporate America world.
Gotcha. I gotcha. So, when you say Chicago's Next, it's all one world, Chicago S Next, all one word.
Correct. Is it? And it's chicagosnext.com.
Okay.
And when you visit there, you'll see we have our Twitter account set up with a little bit of activity. We have our Facebook page set up, and I even did Tumblr because I wanted to learn Tumblr a little bit more because I heard that's cool, that's new and the in thing with all the cool kids. So I want to try that too.
That's one step further than me. I know it's the in thing, and I know what it is, but I've never tried it. So you got one step ahead of me on that one.
Yeah. I think it's Facebook fatigue, and they're moving over to Tumblr now.
Gotcha. And when you say Microsoft talent, the people you're trying to attract there, you're not necessarily blue badge people. You're looking for people with a background and doing like developers that are going to be doing stuff there with a background in Microsoft technologies. They don't have to be a Microsoft employee. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely not for internal Microsoft folks. This is for people that use Microsoft technologies, whether they're a consultant or if they are working internally in their own IT department. Those are the people that I want to attract because I know they have skills. I work with them.
Gotcha.
I want to see how creative they can be. Because whenever you talk to them, you always hear them say, like, you see their code and you know that their code is great. And they always tell you, like, I'd like to build the next app, but I just don't know of any ideas, or the ideas are already taken.
Right.
And I want to have this event to point them out that there are ideas everywhere.
It's funny when people say that they don't have an idea for something, but it's like you do have ideas. You just, so many of people's ideas, I think, they dismiss their own ideas for things to do because they don't think somebody's going to be interested in it. Again, for the listeners who don't know what like a hackathon is, and they've heard the buzzword before, how would you describe what this is?
They typically are 24-hour duration. Sometimes you see them for 48 hours or 3 days. Mm. And the whole point of it is to show up with an idea, or the event gives you ideas, and you organically create teams. You either come there with a friend or you meet other people there that would like to work on the same idea with you. And you cobble together, build something that you feel passionate about, that you feel will beat the other teams there. But it's really about building something. You know, what can you build? What can you cobble together? And that's the cobble together duct tape approach is something that we don't see with the corporate America world, because we always want to gold plate our code. Mm. We always want to build it 100% correct, because we're used to a QA team at the end helping us out, or we're used to another team giving us requirements. Here we're saying, how quickly can you build a POC that can generate buzz, that can help you either solve a problem or win this event? And that's a completely different mindset that we have in corporate America. In corporate America, we're expected to not just write clean and efficient code, but also make sure that there are no bugs at the end. And here we're saying, throw everything that you know out the window. How quickly can you build something? And that's what I need help with myself. And that's why I'm excited to be around all these people, because I get stuck in that trap as well. I work on a project, and 8 months later, side project, 8 months later, it's still not done.
Yeah.
But yet I see all these other hackathons and these other people in open source, and they bang out an idea in a weekend. How can I learn from that? How can I do that?
Yeah, I can tell you, speaking from personal experience of trying to get a startup up off the ground, you have to constantly remind yourself that, you have to look at things that are, this sounds bad to, the corporate developer is going to hear this, or the more traditional developer is going to hear this, and they're probably going to roll their eyes or be like, you got to be kidding me. But the attitude of, I have to have unit tests and end-to-end testing and stuff, and integration tests, I've got to have all of that written for my code to make sure that everything looks good and stuff, and the QA environment and everything, I have to have that. It can be, for someone who doesn't have a, when you don't have like a specific project that you're working on in the sense of a client deliverable, and you've got specific billable hours, and you have to get it done by a certain time, which is, most requirements you have around a company. When you're doing like your own project or a startup or something, you really need to look at those things and say, is that going to make a sale, or is that going to help the product in an immediate way for me to get this thing out the door and get people using it? And you get the fact that, yes, testing and all this other kind of stuff is very important, but you've also got to do a gut check and just be like, a test isn't going to sell me another license. It's going to help it down the road. So you've got to do that, check and balance of, or the advantage, disadvantage of, is this going to really help me get this thing done? So yeah, with the hackathon, it's more of a, don't put your seatbelt on, forget about the windshield wipers and the turn signal. Just sit down, sling some stuff out, and by the end of the day, show us what you can accomplish, knowing that if this was something you were going to deliver to a client, you got to go back and you got to gold plate the thing. But let's just at least throw a proof of concept together really, really quick, right?
Yeah, POC, minimal viable product. These are all terms that a lot of corporate IT folks haven't had to worry about or haven't had to think about.
Yeah.
At all.
It's tricky. It's definitely tricky.
Right. And the people buying the software or the people using the software, they don't care what design patterns you used.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The way I always tell, I explain this to someone, when you talk to a developer, it's interesting. But if I take my car in to go get worked on, the mechanic doesn't come back and tell me things like, well, I use the best tools. I have Craftsman and I have this and I have that. It's like, I really don't give a damn. Did you get the oil changed and the tires rotated and balanced?
Yeah.
And, we look at it as developers, and it's like, you want to see those things. You want to explain those things, but people don't care. So, hey, we're talking a lot about developers here. Is that the only person that you're looking for, or who are you actually looking for to attend this event?
So that's the one item that I've been battling from the very beginning. And the very first thing I say hackathon, we all think developers, and you even hear it from other folks saying, well, Build is going to be in San Fran. That's where all of the developers are. I don't think you have the right audience. And I think that's a big misconception within corporate America as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an open secret with the open sourcers. Let a team of developers challenge me. I'll get a designer, a couple devs, a BA and a PM, and I'm positive that we will build something that will beat these other teams of purely dev any day.
Mm.
And that's why I'm not concerned with Build, and I'm more excited to be tying closely to Ignite, because the folks going to Ignite they're the ones that have the blend of technical skills and business knowledge that can build something unique and actually relevant.
Mm.
And, you know, we just talked about it earlier, right? A solution that uses a specific design pattern just because the pattern is cool or in right now is not going to win.
Gotcha. And you were saying early on, you know, you're trying to, when you hear that Microsoft is doing this big Uber Ignite conference and kind of collapsing down all the other ones into this one, you made a comment about, you know, you were kind of like, oh, I wonder how that's going to be. And as somebody who, you know, is pretty close to all these different shows, as all these conferences that go on, you know, I've talked about it on the show, even with our co-host CJ, that I just like, I still struggle to see the value in it as well. I mean, if you got a conference that's going to be probably anywhere from 15 to 25,000 people at a massive conference center, with especially the Microsoft conference for developers is the immediate week prior. As a developer, you have to wonder, is this really going to make sense for me to go? But there are a significant number of developers that are going to be going to Ignite. So, I mean, I know that Ignite may not be heavy on the developer content. It's probably going to be more heavy on the IT pro and the implementer, I would think, or at least that's what the audience would be. But this is a great option for really any developer to kind of show up and be like, hey, look, if you're a Microsoft developer, or, you know, heck, with the way that Azure is set up today, the way that 365 is set up today, you don't even have to be a Microsoft background developer. If your company's sending you to Ignite, this could be a great place to do something fun. I mean, you can, you know, do everything with how we talked about in the last episode with like Node.js or something using this same technology. So
absolutely,
it's going to be, it'd be interesting to see like, you know, the people that you've got that actually show up for this. But yeah, so when you first kind of, you said you made some comment about that you were battling this from the beginning about the people thinking hackathon, they only thought developers. What do you think about, like, you know, from the first time you announced this, you started talking about it, how have things kind of changed since you first said this?
You know, talking to venues, talking to the places that have these types of hackathons for the open source community, when I approached them, everyone was like, yeah, let's do this. Because no one comes up to them from a Microsoft side and say, let's do a Microsoft hackathon. But then when you start talking to people about marketing and how many people, immediately you heard everyone say, well, you know, Microsoft, corporate America, tech workers, they're not known to be creative. Mm. And we talked about it at the very beginning, you know, all the ideas are taken and nothing is to be built. So then what was really cool, and I wish I would have thought of this on my own, but it made the event better, so, and that's all that matters, is that the venue that is cited is called Blue 1647, and Antonio is a co-founder there. He said, you know, that's fine. They're not known for having ideas. He said, we're going to work together and get in front of local Chicago companies and leaders. These are nonprofits, educational, community organizations that have specific problems that they need help solving. And we're going to have meetups leading up to the event. We're going to have a pool of ideas. And as the teams are formed, whether they're formed before the event or, you know, in the weeks leading up to it or right before, now we have a plethora of ideas for them to pick on or choose from. And now they have the ability to attend this event and not say, well, I don't think I have any ideas. Now we have the ideas. You bring your technical knowledge and or background and let's just build something together. Now we have the opportunity to help them out individually, but also help out these other companies that either, you know, are not serviced as much or whatnot. Now we can help them out as well. And that's something that is unique. Not a lot of hackathons do that. And I'm really excited about it. And I couldn't be happier to have talked to them about that, to include that.
Oh, cool. So, and you refer to, like, you know, talking about doing meetups ahead of time and giving people, getting some ideas and stuff for teams that show up that may not have a specific idea, but you kind of give them that little spark and then, hey, it's not a corporate event. So just have fun, go wherever you want to see it. If you see something cool, go ahead and add it. How can you expand a little bit more on some of the community stuff that you're doing to get people like interested in this whole thing?
Yeah, sure. So for an example, with a wide variety of organizations and nonprofits, I've reached out to a group that provides services for listening and spoken language education to children with hearing loss from birth.
Hmm.
So These are people that I know they don't have their own IT department. I know they don't have the budget for that. So what can we do? What problems can we solve to help out an organization like that or anyone else that is related that is also a nonprofit? How can we help them? And with how everything has changed with Azure mobile services and whatnot, now we know that they don't need to necessarily be a Microsoft shop to be able to consume data from Azure. So now we know that that was the barrier in the past from a lot of these smaller shops from even considering Microsoft. It was either too expensive or they didn't have the money for it or they just weren't a Microsoft shop. Now we know that has changed. So that, I believe, strongly opens the door to be able to help out these other types of companies that are smaller with a smaller budget or maybe didn't even think that they needed to involve IT to help them out.
I gotcha. That's cool. I mean, and to be clear, the people that you're looking for to come to this event that you're looking to be involved, they don't have to be going to the Ignite conference. This is just, you're just timing it around the same time just because, but anybody's correct. Welcome to join this, right?
Yeah. Anyone's welcome to join. And if you're buying your like plane ticket and you're going to show up on a Sunday, why not buy a extra day early and do something to get hands-on with technology and also help out another group? I think that's a lot better than sitting at your hotel bar and drinking beer.
So, which right. They could totally do the night before the event or like that evening after the event, right?
Absolutely. I'm still working on the mixers that will occur before the event and after, and that will definitely be, I believe the mixer after would be better to drink beer, definitely.
Yeah, you don't want people showing up all hungover and everything, trying to go through and be creative that morning, right? The most creativity correct. You get out of people that way is, how can I get myself to a Wendy's to get a nice greasy hamburger for the hangover helper?
Correct.
Not that I have any experience with that. I just, that's what I hear people do. Well, hey, cool. So I guess another thing too, what other stuff, you mentioned some of the things that you're doing to help people with the event, but what kinds of people, are you looking for? What are you looking to actually, how are you helping them during the event? Are you just kind of like getting them together and turning them loose, or what kinds of things are you doing there?
There is one thing I didn't get a chance to mention earlier about the people I want. I feel very strongly with trying to help out college students. And we all know that those entry-level programmer jobs are very hard to find. And I'm not going to market directly to these college students because I don't think I'm going to have an entire room of college students. But what I would really like to do, and I'm in the process of this right now, I'm talking to St. Xavier and DePaul soon, is can I talk to those departments ahead of time? Can I talk to a professor that buys into what we're doing? And can they build a team of students ahead of time? And do they accept the challenge? And if they do, and a team has been identified from each college, then I'll accept them and they'll be part of the hackathon. And now they will be completely out of their comfort zone, right? But that's okay. Now they'll be able to learn technology that they might not be able to in their day-to-day classes, but they're also going to be around people that are already in the industry. And I think that would be a huge help for them. And more importantly, I know that they will be able to build something. And whatever that something is, an app or an application, whatever, now they have something that they could put into their portfolio. So when they graduate and they're trying to stand out amongst their competition for that entry-level job, now they're going to be one of the few that say, I have an app. I know not just theory, but I know how to apply it. Hire me. And I think that would help out them immensely.
Ah, that's cool. I would agree with that. It definitely sounds a good way to help them. So let me ask you something else too then. So what are you doing, I guess, when people are going throughout the course of the day and they're coming up with their different things that they're building and whatnot, but is everybody just building stuff or are they competing for something for the end of the day?
There will be a round of judging. And before we get to that round of judging, right, in regards to supporting the teams, I'm in process of identifying what I'm calling tech rangers. Mm. So when they show up and the teams are formed, I want to make sure that no one's stuck spinning their wheels. We're going to have tech rangers there of a diverse background, and hopefully one of the tech rangers will be able to help them out with whatever they are trying to accomplish and hop between the teams to make sure that they keep on progressing. So we're going to have that kind of help. And the other type of help is we're actively working now to get trial memberships, trial tenants, maybe even a tenant with demo data from Office 365 as well as Azure. So there's no sign up. They'll be ready for them. And more importantly, all that trial software and trial memberships will hopefully be able to last longer than the duration of the event, maybe 2-3 months later. Mm. So now we're going to have the support for them, but also this is going to be fluid. Maybe there's some teams that won't finish or they didn't win at the judging, but they'll still be able to learn at their own speed after the event. And if they do happen to go to Ignite, now they have their own trial tenant that they can access while viewing the sessions. And I think that would be a no-brainer for them as well, because we all know that we learn from doing, and it's hard to really pick up on these subjects if you're just watching a PowerPoint or reading a blog post. You have to get your hands dirty.
Yeah, I would agree. I would totally agree with that.
And then for the judging period, it's going to be a little bit unique. We're still working on it. But what I really am looking for, and the judging parameters are going to be published on the site in the next couple of weeks, are, you know, the panel judges, we're going to have the criteria. Whoever wins that will be determined at the mixer after the hackathon or at the end of the hackathon. But what's going to be unique, because again, we're talking about POC and minimal viable product. I'm assuming that a lot of these people don't have experience as a startup and are curious about it. So what I'm working on is the final round of judging. I'm calling that the showcase mixer. I want to get the judges there that have experience in that type of format, whether that be VC, angel investors, but it's not really about money. It's about who has successfully started up a business, and more importantly, have they started up a second one or a third or a fourth? Those are the serial entrepreneurs. Those are the ones that I really want to be able to sit down and show this winning product to or winning app to. Because then whoever is interested, now they can donate maybe an hour or two of their time and talk to the team, talk about what they would do next, what pitfalls they had when they tried to do a startup or they tried to build an app, and convey to that team privately what they can do to help out with that product. I think that would be immense. You know, even if what a lot of people don't realize is that you don't have to hit a home run or sell your app for $1 billion to be a success. And there might be some that tried it and failed it, but that's okay. At least you tried it.
Yeah.
And that it's still a little shaky right now how I'm talking about this, but that will be definitely more clear as we go on.
Yeah, I think it's funny. It's interesting you say that, because that was definitely a common misconception that I had around people that were trying to do a startup, was that, you know, the model, or at least the thing that always makes the news, is that, you know, you're going to do a startup, which means you have to have funding, which means you have to have a team, which means in order for it to be viable, you've got to pull in hundreds of thousands of dollars a year or all of that, or millions of dollars a year. And eventually you're going to grow to be this big company. And when I went from owning a small business to going independent, I stumbled on this thing, this concept of called micropreneurship, which is incredibly appealing to me, which the idea is to start small and stay small. And you don't need to have this massive idea that's going to do so much stuff. I mean, you really just need something that pulls in a nice little chunk of revenue, you know, every month or whatever. Maybe it's a recurring revenue kind of a model, like a SaaS product or something. But it actually takes a heck of a lot less in terms of money to get into it and money getting out of it in order to make it viable for you. And some of the stuff that I'm working on, people ask me, you know, what are your targets? You know, are you looking to make $100,000 in the first year? And it's like, I kind of would like to, but in one sense, I also don't want to, because that means that I would have to probably hire out a few people in order to get this to that point that quickly. And one of the whole appeals of this is that for me at least, and this is for some other people as well, is that, you know, I don't like managing people. I like contracting people and getting people to get some work done, but I don't want to deal with employees. I don't want to deal with all that overhead. And, you know, having a little thing that I build that's pulling in, you know, $500, $1,000, $4,000 a month, that you turn, you look at that and say, hey, look, that's now a viable revenue model or a viable product for my lifestyle, and just go from there. So it's breaking down that model of people having that mindset that it's only the stuff that you read on TechCrunch or on Ars Technica or something like that to say, this is the only, those are the only things you're really going to make your money on. It's like, no, that's not true at all. That is, those are the edge cases. And you have to keep in mind too, that there's a reason why these VC guys like to invest in 10 to 20 different things at one time, because only one of them is probably going to pan out. So they're spreading their money around to make sure that their bet's going to work the best way, just like if you're playing at the roulette table or if you're playing craps.
But I'm really curious about, and we'll see how this goes. I'm hoping that this is not just the only hackathon. I'm positive on the feedback. We're going to have many more. But did you notice the three different audiences that are going to be in the room at the same time? We've got the nonprofits, the local community in one corner. We've got the doers in the middle, whether that is a designer or coder or whatnot. And then we got the entrepreneurs on the other side of the fence. All three in the same room. I don't think that happens too much.
I agree with you.
You know, so who knows? Maybe someone's going to come up with a solution that solves a very major problem for one of these nonprofits. And you know, as a nonprofit, you know, sometimes funding is tight and they don't have funding. Well, now we have the other corner that possibly does have the funding. So maybe something big will come out of that. I'm curious to see how that works. And it'd be great if something big happens.
Yeah. Are you going to have those? I mean, you're saying you come up with different ideas for the people who are participating in the hackathon, but I might have missed you saying this, but are some of the people that are showing up, like from the local community or like from the nonprofits, are they coming in saying, you know, we need this, we need a mobile app that does this, or we need a website that does this kind of stuff for us? And developers may look at it and go, oh my God, that's a piece of cake. So they kind of are seeding the ideas as well. And it could turn into, in a sense, it's almost like here's an audition for a funded job or something like that.
Well, that could be one avenue, right? But I don't even think that some of these companies even know that they can build a mobile app. I have a feeling that they're going to come with a very abstract problem and they don't know how to solve it. They don't know if it's a website. They don't know if it's an app. They just know that they have a problem. Like, for example, what if you have your therapist out on the road, and how do they access shared data? How do they know when a therapist, sort of like a shared calendar, but that's a little bit simple, right? You know, how do they share notes? Where do they share these notes? How do they protect the security of these notes? I have a feeling that it's going to be fluid. We have to do a lot of meetings leading up to the event to get the right idea out, but that's what I think is going to happen. I don't think that they're going to say, I specifically need this website that handles these requirements. I don't think that's going to come out of it. It's going to be a very fluid, abstract idea, and that is probably going to be good enough, because I want to see creative solutions out. I don't want to see a list of requirements come out, and that might bog down the teams.
Gotcha. So it's more just of people coming to the table, like someone who doesn't know how to solve their problem, but it's like, look, we need something that helps us do this, and maybe the most that they're thinking of is, we think that software can help and you guys might be able to help us. And it's just, in a sense, correct, just like start the conversation and build from there.
Correct.
That's cool. That's really cool. Well, let me ask you this. You got any surprises that that you can talk about with the hackathon or something?
I had some initial prelim calls with Microsoft and with Jeremy Fake. And if half of the ideas that Jeremy came up with actually occur, it's going to be an amazing event.
Oh, cool.
And I'm really looking forward to finalizing their involvement. And I think that's going to be a major step to making this event occur more than just once. And for those that know me, it shouldn't be a big surprise that every detail, especially the food at the event, it will be special, but also support local businesses. So you won't see your popular chains here. So, and Alice is on the planning team here for Chicago's Next, and she came up with a great idea that's going to occur at 11 p.m.
Ooh.
And if you're tired after this event, at whatever is going to happen at 11 p.m., you will not be tired after 11 p.m.
Oh, awesome. That's pretty cool. Yeah. Just to make sure I you know, give you your props on that. Yes. Friends with AC on Facebook and on Twitter. And I've been to Chicago. I've been places where we've gone out to dinner and stuff. A bit of a foodie, a bit of a, what do you say that when you have you're a connoisseur of like of drinks and something like that? I don't want to call it a drinky. That's kind of, that doesn't sound good.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's nice to say craft cocktails.
There you go.
You just can't say mixology because it sounds pretentious.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got a bad connotation all of a sudden now. It's actually means something. And now everybody starts talking about it. You're like, no, that's not what we mean.
Yeah, exactly. I'm really excited about it. And I'm looking forward to finalizing everything. You'll see our website get updated almost daily for the next couple of months. So our message will be very clear. We will be opening up the registration soon. I'm just waiting on the lovely state of Illinois to approve my nonprofit paperwork. They always take a long time.
Yeah. Where can people, again, just to talk a little bit about, like, what's the website? What's the Twitter? Where is it on Facebook? How can people find out more information about this?
The website is chicagosnext.com. I'm surprised that URL was even available.
I'll make sure that I put that too in our show notes.
Yeah. And the Twitter account is, unfortunately, someone did have that. So we went with Shy, spelled C-H-I, Next Hack. So Shy, Next Hack. There's a link to that in the top right-hand corner of our website as well. And we also have our Facebook page active, and that vanity URL is just Chicago's Next. And we also have Tumblr. I'm not a Tumblr expert here, and that is chicagosnext.tumblr.com.
Awesome.
And personally, if anyone wants to reach out to me, I'm no longer SharePoint AC. I changed it to Bitter AC. BITTERAC. It's a play on words for craft cocktails. You know, when you make cocktails, you use bitters, but only in a dash. You don't want to overdo it. So I figured Bitter AC would be good.
Yeah. and just to be clear to the listeners, you didn't get rid of that handle. We didn't have any discussion about that. I didn't try and buy a handle from you or anything like that, right?
Yeah, that's correct. I think what happened was that there was a big backlash when Microsoft... I don't think it came from someone in the community said it's time to take SharePoint out of your name or out of your blog title. And then everyone said, well, I think we should change the Twitter handle too. So that's why I was part of that movement to get SharePoint out of my blog name and out of my Twitter handle, just out of precautions.
Yeah. Makes sense. You want to be tied to your own stuff. You don't want to be tied to what somebody else does. And somebody changes the name. And it's funny, we still got people who have the name either WSS or MOSS or for Moss in their blog domains or blog names or Twitter handles. And then you get the new people on the block are like, why are you called Moss? So
it's a good point. Yeah. No one wants to be known as Cobol AC. So it makes sense.
Hey, it's sticking around. Well, hey, man, thanks a lot for taking the time to talk to us about this today. I'm sure, hopefully our listeners definitely pay attention to it. If you're going to Ignite, strongly recommend you look to add an extra day to your trip on the front end. I'm hoping to definitely be able to be there I'm talking to Microsoft about doing some stuff at Ignite. So I'm hoping that even if I'm not going to be available during the day, I'm definitely looking forward to being there for as much as I can with the event. So yeah, definitely everybody take a listen to it. Go check out the website, follow them on Twitter, and if you're going to Ignite, or even and if you live in the Chicago area, definitely, even if you're not going to Ignite, definitely pay attention and take an interest in going. It's a great community event. So thanks a lot, AC. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you so much.
If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text. We'll record it as a WAV or an MP3 file and provide a link so that we can play your question on the show. Our theme music is an excerpt from Evaporated Eric by Monk Turner, used under Creative Commons. You can subscribe to us in iTunes by searching for the Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at microsoftcloudshow.com, where you'll also find a full transcript and show notes of each episode. You can find us on Facebook searching for the Microsoft Cloud Show or on Twitter at MS Cloud Show. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.